Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Gigi Arnetta on this Tuesday, August 20th, 2013. Here are some of the top stories on tonight's news.
Tonight, was Princess Diana murdered by a British soldier? Then, the gun confiscation begins in California. And the Hastings toxicology report shows he wasn't impaired. All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Was Princess Diana murdered by a British soldier? The Metropolitan Police assessing credibility of this new claim made in court-martial of SAS sniper Danny Nightingale. The letter says Soldier N claimed the SAS was behind Princess Diana's death, and it had been covered up.
They have murdered my son and Princess Diana, and I put my finger straight to the gangster who ruling the country behind the scene, who is the head of the royal household, Prince Philip.
That was Al Fayed, the father of Dodi Fayed, who was in the car with Princess Diana. And that's from a documentary where he claims that Prince Philip was actually behind the murders. Now, Google Glass gets an app to power the cyber cops and future firefighters. The app would allow public safety officers and officials to communicate in real time via streaming video from the scene, as well as to receive and view key documents, including things like building schematics, medical records of victims, live feeds of security cameras in the area, and more. It's the ultimate on-demand intel platform for agents working in the field, and a way to stay in contact with HQ and other organizations even when radio systems won't talk to each other. Well, the question is, what does that do to our Fourth Amendment rights? And how do you feel about not only the IRS, but now the police officers just to be able to have your medical records? Well, the government just won't stop. Seems like they want to keep breaking down our Fourth Amendment. Administration keeps chipping away at the Fourth Amendment. Considering what's come out about the NSA's domestic surveillance accidents, it almost makes you wonder why the government would bother. Now, surely this information is accessible by other means. In an apparent effort to be thorough in its dismantling of the Fourth Amendment, the administration has asked the Supreme Court to rule that this amendment provides for the warrantless search of cell phones. Is it really necessary to grant law enforcement the right to search through someone's cell phone without a warrant? It's certainly not a good idea, as cell phones today carry a lot more data than they did back in 2007. When the cell phone in question was a flip phone that held little more than messages and phone numbers. So that's not enough for them as they move forward. Now, what's interesting is they've gone to the Homeland Security and given Homeland Security access to the security surveillance blimps, because going into our cell phones isn't enough. According to legal precedent, the Fourth Amendment, the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures, does not apply along the border. By the way, the government contends the Fourth Amendment free zone stretches 100 miles inland from the nation's actual border. As part of this usurpation of power, the DHS has announced that it has the right to examine electronic devices without a warrant in the name of national security. So, of course, they're just going to do whatever they need to do to break down the Fourth Amendment. Looks like we might actually be there. And for our Second Amendment, we moved to California, where one by one, California agents track down illegally owned guns. In California, officials are ramping up a unique program that identifies and seizes guns from people who are prohibited from keeping them. Under state law, a legally registered gun owner loses the right to own a firearm when he or she is convicted of a crime or becomes mentally ill.
This morning, NPR carried a gung-ho report on gun confiscation in California. They accompanied a gang of government employees as they went about confiscating guns, as they put it, one by one.
We're riding in a caravan of four unmarked trucks through the bedroom communities of the San Francisco East Bay. The trucks carry nine state agents wearing bulletproof vests and armed with 40 caliber Glock pistols and tasers. They'll spend the next 6 hours looking for illegal guns.
Well, isn't that exciting and fun? But one thing that was missing from the NPR report was the constitutional perspective. Also missing was what it feels like to be on the receiving end of that. We have someone, Joe Mendez, who had this happen to him in California, And he gives a perspective of what it feels like to have your constitutional rights violated.
Immediately, I got two M16 machine gun rifles within 5 inches from my face on both sides. One cop came up with his gun in my face, and the other one proceeded to put my hands behind my back for the sole purpose of owning and possessing assault rifles, which were legal to own.
See the full special report at Prison Planet TV or the Alex Jones channel on YouTube.
So in California, they're confiscating guns. And in Egypt, it looks like the Obama administration has secretly decided to cut funding. The Obama administration has decided to temporarily suspend the disbursement of most direct military aid, the delivery of weapons to the Egyptian military, and some forms of economic aid to the Egyptian government, while it conducts a broad review of the relationship. The latest reports are that Obama's actually saying they're not cutting funding, that they're reexamining the situation. So we'll have to see how that progresses tomorrow. Now, the Turkish prime minister is blaming Israel for what's happening in Egypt. He says that Israel orchestrated Morsi's overthrow. Israel is behind the coup in Egypt. We have the evidence. Erdogan was quoted as saying in the Turkish daily Today's Zaman on Tuesday. Now, he's not the only leader in the last week to accuse Israel of using power to influence events in Egypt. Last weekend, Venezuelan's president accused Israel and the U.S. of conspiring to oust Morsi and of stirring unrest in Syria. We have witnessed a bloodbath in Egypt. He was quoted as saying, "We warned that the coup against Morsi was unconstitutional. Morsi was kidnapped, and the responsible party for what is occurring in Egypt is the American Empire, which has its hands in it. The United States doesn't have friends. It has interests. And what it wants is to control the planet." Taking over the planet is hard to argue as we look at Obamacare, which is trying to take over our country. Jakari went out and spoke with a few people to find out their true feelings about Obamacare.
All right, sir, how would you rate President Obama's job performance?
Overall, very well.
On a scale of 1 to 10?
Yes.
Right now? I'd give him a 7.5.
I'll give him a 6.
Any particular area that you're impressed with?
He speaks in complete sentences.
How do you feel about Obamacare?
Well, I think sometimes it doesn't benefit me personally in terms of the changes that are made, but I think it benefits people on the whole.
I don't have health insurance. I don't look forward to paying premiums that I don't pay now, but hopefully the fact that we all have to sign up, those of us uninsured, will make those premiums a lot more affordable, and I'm going to join just because I think all the wrong people want me to sit on the sidelines and not join.
Having Obamacare will probably make the health care that they do give not as high of standard.
There's some strict premiums and guidelines with Obamacare, and we actually see employers actually cutting the hours of their employees so they can't benefit.
Well, at least in some fields where workers are short, let's hope that it becomes one of those carrots.
And what do you ladies think about married couples having increased premiums? So if you get married, your premiums are going to increase.
Yeah, I don't understand what his intentions are with that.
We see about 60% of doctors say they'd rather retire early than go through all the hoops of implementing Obamacare. How does that make you feel?
I think it's just going to take a cycle or two to really be able to prepare for this.
I think it's kind of scary looking into the future and realizing all these people who have worked their way up into these positions. And if you see them backing out, you kind of wonder like, yeah, I don't know that much about the situation myself. And if these people who are knowledgeable of the information and know what's going on, if they're backing out themselves, it kind of makes me worried.
Where there is a gap, the market will fill it. So if those doctors retire, then we'll have more strip malls having doc in a box.
And some people are against Obamacare just because of the fact that the government is now allowed to make you buy a product or service. We just want you to go ahead and get this health care. Would you be for that?
If everyone had some basic coverage, I think it benefits the society.
And on that buying a product or service, we see a small town in Georgia now has a city ordinance forcing their residents to purchase firearms, to own firearms in their home. How do you feel about that?
There's a lot of people shouldn't have access to firearms, so I think that's absurd.
Now, does this cross any lines as far as the government making you own a product or service?
To me, that's a totally different situation.
Stop by the InfoWars shop and pick up Doctored, the film the American Medical Association doesn't want you to see.
Well, it's interesting to see how people feel about Obamacare. And we have some breaking news that we just received. We actually have the coroner's report from the Michael Hastings accident. We've acquired it through Sergeant Joe Biggs, who's going to be on the show tomorrow with Alex. It'll be an exclusive segment with Alex talking about what's inside of this a very extensive report. But there are a couple of things that we've noticed, and they have to do with the fact that they're claiming that he may have been using drugs. And also, the LA Times has come out with an article saying that the coroner family link Michael Hastings to drug use at the time of death. Now, I want to note that the LA Times has been claiming that the FBI is also not involved in researching any of this or having anything to do with the Michael Hastings accident, but yet Sergeant Biggs knows that the FBI has material because he's actually going to receive some in September from them. So we have some conflicting information. Now, in the toxicology part of this report, it's talking about carboxy THC, which doesn't cause impairment. And he's a regular user of medicinal marijuana for PTSD. That's inside of the report, which you can take a look at later. And the second kind, this THC, which is at 12, if you're a regular user, this level of THC would not impair you. 30 is actually the high level, and we've actually done a report on people who drove at that level and were able to do that just fine. So the only other chemical found in his body was 0.05 micrograms of amphetamine, which there's actually a lot of common compounds that can give a false positive for meth. Look at all this. You can go down the list from Advil to anything to B2 vitamin, NyQuil, Dimetapp. I mean, look at this list. Toxic levels for methamphetamines don't even register until 0.1. So according to this toxicology report, it's just basically, it looks like a character assassination saying that he was on drugs and that there was family intervention on needing rehab. And it's a real shame. But today's daily quote, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. That's from John Adams. Support the grassroots movement. Indie filmmaking. You have to see this movie. We have it available at InfoWarsShop.com. It's a compelling film of how the drug war affects the children from a perspective you wouldn't expect. And we have the director, Kevin Booth, that's here with David Knight. So stick around till after the break because it's a great interview.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Our guest today is Kevin Booth, filmmaker, producer of America's Drug War, The Last White Hope. That's his first documentary, and now he's following that up with a second one. Now, the first one really kind of talked about, focused a lot on prohibition, about the corruption in our government with the DEA, the CEA, talked about Freeway Ricky Ross, who was considered to be the person who kind of started the crack epidemic, and he talked about the roots of the CIA and that. So that kind of focused on government corruption and the prohibition aspect. This one really focuses more on a personal story. This is American Drug War II. It's really kind of talking about the effect on children. You know, the government always tries to sell us their latest program or their latest war on whatever by fear, and especially fear that is focused on protecting our children. So Kevin Booth really went to the heart of the issue with this documentary, and it's going to be a real eye-opener, I think, for a lot of people. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on here. Appreciate it. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the government put so much energy into convincing us that the drug war was in place to save our children. And so I thought the only way to follow up the first American Drug War film was to show basically the effects that the drug war is truly having on children, which is exactly the opposite, of course, of what the government has been selling everybody.
Yeah, it's amazing when we've seen these recent breaking story about this family in Florida that had their child taken away while they were on vacation in Louisiana. CPS took it away because of issues of marijuana. This is a family, both a mother and father were engineers. They had a very functional family, two young sons. After having having their sons in CPS for almost a year, they had put together a plan. They, quote-unquote, kidnapped their sons, took them to Cuba. But unfortunately, the Cuban government did not give them asylum. Now the parents, who were functioning members of society, are now in prison. And their children are now gone in CPS. And the stories that you have about what happens to children once they get into foster care are just amazing in this documentary.
Well, you know, I mean, we decided to get into it. And to be honest with you, I didn't really get into the whole foster thing because of I'm making a film. I mean, my wife and I truly were looking to start a family. We couldn't have children of our own, and we decided to take the foster care route. There's 35,000 children in the foster care system here in Los Angeles County alone, 35,000 kids.
Wow.
And so we decided, like, you know, there's got to be a kid out there that we could help and we could be a family to. And so we went through the program. We had to go through the whole indoctrination into it and met a lot of nice people and joined a really nice agency here, in Hollywood. And, but it's funny because, you know, I've heard, you know, being around Alex and all these stories, you know, you always hear the horror stories about Child Protective Services and all this and DCSF and all these government agencies. So it was interesting to kind of come in it through the other direction. Now we enter through the door as parents looking for kids. And so, and we really did enter into it is with, you know, parents with an open heart looking to build a family and not, you know, some conspiracy-minded filmmaker. Well, you know, I was working on the movie over here that was separate from this, and before you know it, we have this little child in our house, and before you know it, we're being court-ordered to give her Adderall at 6 in the morning.
Yes.
Yeah, which is amphetamine, and we're being court-ordered to give her barbiturates at night. We discovered that the home that she had just come from for us had 10 children living in basically just little tiny beds all like crammed together. You know, the more kids they can fit into one house, the more money they make.
Wow.
And they would give all the children speed in the morning and tranquilizers at night. It's just a way to just keep the flow of the house going. And
I know that from personal experience. So I have friends who adopted through the foster care system. We've adopted two children. One was an open adoption. The other was a foreign adoption. And we were, quite frankly, we knew about what was going on with the foster care stuff and with CPS, and that's why we did a foreign adoption for the second one. But like I said, we have friends who have done that through the foster care system, and we know how that is, how the government mandates putting them on these very dangerous, very strong drugs. But, of course, they're sold by big pharmaceutical companies.
And it's really just a way to the log jam because of the corruption in the system. And you know, we're dealing with laws that are 70 years old. You know, many of the laws regarding the foster system have been on the books now for 70 years. They're completely outdated. Everything is completely outdated and broken and just crumbling. And so they literally have to use drugs to just keep the log jam from getting worse. And so what you learn when you get in there is it's not really all these evil people working in the system. There's actually a lot of good people working in these things, but it's the laws and the system, and everything is so broken and outdated and corrupt and being controlled by the wrong things that It's, you know, people are going, I can't believe that they allowed you to get away with this or make this movie, but it's not like anybody was trying to stop us. I mean, they're all working these jobs knowing, yeah, we do think the kids are on too many drugs, but we don't really have a choice. There's nothing
they don't make the policies. So many different systems, they don't make the policies. The people, whether it's the military, whether it's the schools, whether it's CPS, the people that are just implementing the policies, if they even think about it, they don't have the capability to really change these policies. They're just kind of cogs in the system. But it's a few people at the very top, people who are with the FDA, people who have made this alliance with the big pharmaceutical companies. They're making the policies. They're setting these policies. They've created the system. They've created the machine.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we, you know, and I found myself even, you know, in private meetings with highly educated, highly intelligent doctors who I have respect for. And I'm sitting there going, you know, look up who I am. I actually do documentaries about this topic. I travel around the country lecturing at universities about this very subject. And I'm telling you, this child in our home, is not being served well by this medication. Now, the girl in the movie, Stephanie, has been returned to her mother. And since then, we've taken on another foster daughter who's basically taking another form. It's not Adderall, but it's close to Adderall. It's a very, very high dose.
Mm-hmm.
And you enter in like a whole other tricky aspect, and that is the child themselves actually likes the drugs. And when you start telling the child, like, hey, you know, you're taking this bad drug, we need to get you off of it, they're like, oh, no, I like the drug. And then what do you do, right? And what is the future going to hold for the child that's already, like, loving this pill they get every morning and the way this pill makes them feel?
Kevin, I think what we're seeing here with CPS is really kind of a microcosm of the entire system that our government and those in big pharmaceutical companies would like to see all of us on. It's not just that they want to get the children on. They would love to get the children on, but you see aspects of it even within the government school system, the overuse of drugs for ADHD like Ritalin. But they want everybody on these big pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, we moved out to an area about 20 years ago that we didn't get any television reception. And it was really a blessing. We didn't realize it at the time. We really haven't watched television. I mean, we are active on the internet, we watch movies, we do other things, but we were surprised when we went back and looked at television when we'd be traveling or something, and just the number of pharmaceutical commercials that they never even had before, and how predominant they are. I mean, it's the majority of the commercials that are out there. They're really pushing this on society as a whole. It's not just the children in CPS. That's a microcosm of where they want to go.
And I've been told that if you want to see who are the biggest financiers of TV, the big sponsors, watch who is sponsoring the world news.
That's right.
Like go watch like the main evening news on NBC, CBS, and it is pharmaceutical ads.
That's
who are like the big donors, and that actually then even became trouble for me getting broadcast for the newer movie, because we're talking about being able to replace a whole drug cabinet, a whole medicine cabinet full of pills with one single plant that you can grow in your backyard. And that very simple message right there led to like us hitting brick walls with getting broadcasts on the second movie.
Well, you know, I've seen something very interesting just the last couple of months, actually, on the CIA News Network, you know, CNN, they have Sanjay Gupta, who's their doctor, just last week was saying that he's sorry. He misled people about the efficacy and the danger of medical marijuana. And when you look at him on these programs talking about how he's changed, why he was misinformed, you realize that even though this man is very intelligent, he's been in this pharmaceutical bubble that MDs kind of live in. He didn't even, as he says, he didn't even look at the efficacy of marijuana. He just saw a lot of studies that had been done that were selective studies that focused on negative aspects of marijuana, but there really weren't studies that were being done that he wasn't aware of. But he was kind of living in this pharmaceutical world, probably like the doctors that you were talking to.
Sure. I mean, and they all do. I mean, because that's how they make a living, you know, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because the Sanjay Gupta show called Weed, which I recommend everybody watch, just came out this Sunday. And I got to admit, I'm amazed by it, but it almost felt like they watched my newest movie and then went and made the TV show and got it out there, which is totally cool, because all I can say to anybody out there that if you watch the Sanjay Gupta CNN special, Then you need to check out American Drug War II because it picks up on those exact ideas. It has, you know, like a main story thread about a young boy suffering with brain cancer. You know, it has a lot of the same threads, but we take it to like another level in which I don't think CNN is prepared to, broadcast yet, but maybe, you know, who knows?
I'm really kind of wondering what's up with them. I mean, I looked at their website today. Their top story is titled, "Are American Opinions on Marijuana Reaching a Tipping Point?" And if you look at all the different, I mean, it's a little bit late, but it's good that they're reporting some of this stuff. I don't know why they're doing it because, I mean, they've been very much in the pocket of big pharmaceutical companies, but they're actually talking about some of the effective things. Like you mentioned, the brain cancer. There was an article associated with that. Marijuana stops child's seizures, talking about Seattle's budding economy, talking about the legalization of it there. And then another article by from Melissa Etheridge saying that pot got her through. I mean, it's interesting to see this happening now on CNN. What do you make of that?
Well, I think, you know, I think the conspiracy theorist scared part of me is, that the pharmaceutical companies are fixing to come vulturing in on all these, you know, well-meaning, you know, you've had people now that have been working at this trying to build an organic, non-corrupt marijuana industry for all these years. And there's a lot of really good people out here in California. I go to Denver all the time. I got a lot of dealings in Denver and I'm working on some other films in Denver. And so I think between, you know, the Los Angeles area, the Oakland, San Francisco area and the Denver area is kind of like the nucleus of this whole deal. There's a lot of really good people, but there are some very bad apples out there too that are very opportunistic. And I think, you know, the door is open for big corporations to come in and swoop down and really kind of take this thing in an angle which people really don't want to see. With, you know, companies like Monsanto could come in. You know, they're already talking about a year from now, there's going to be just regular retail marijuana stores in Denver. Not dispensaries, but just like a liquor store. Just like there's the pot store. You don't have to have a prescription or anything to go in there. The Denver scene is pretty crazy right now. I just got back from there. I'm doing a little mini doc about this whole thing all the kids are doing now called dabbing, which takes marijuana to another level. It's they're all doing this this oil, this very powerful oil, and that's this whole crazy thing. And a lot of people that are negative about this are going to say, well, this is what happens when you legalize it. Kids are going to take it to the next level, you know, and so they're going to use that as an argument. So.
Well, you've talked about in your lecture series, you talked about the difference between THC and cannabis and the medical uses of it. Now, but there's also, you talk in your lecture series about the government has just done a patent,
Right. Well,
not
just, it's like, 10 years ago. They've had the patent for about 10 years on cannabinoids. Anybody should, to Google it. And it's the Department of Health and Human Services. And basically what's alarming about this is, first of all, the government shouldn't be allowed to take out a patent like this.
First of all,
that's very strange. And the other part that's alarming is that our American government is working with foreign pharmaceutical companies to basically circumvent a lot of like good smaller American companies that are trying to work on getting the actual natural plant derivative through the FDA process. And something we touch upon in the movie, it's kind of a hard concept to explain in a short amount of time that we have here on this interview. But you can't, with the definition of a patent, you can't really patent a plant. It's too much. You can patent a molecule, you can patent a compound, but you can't patent a plant. And that's why these these companies come in here. And I think the fear that a lot of people in the marijuana industry are having is that if we don't fight the way that the pharmaceutical companies could take this thing, and that is, instead of you being able to grow a single plant in your backyard that you can treat your anxiety, your sleeplessness, your pain, your nausea, the whole laundry list of things with, they're going to try to basically tear the marijuana plant down into like 40 different prescription medications to where you have to take this pill based on these one or two cannabinoids that we find are best for sleep. Then you have to take this spray to use these two cannabinoids that we find are best for pain.
Or they might go in and genetically modify it, you know, combine it with a scorpion stinger or something like that, you know. That's the kind of thing that we've seen them do in the past, just so that they can own it and control it.
Exactly,
well, Kevin,
yeah.
thank you so much for talking to us. Yeah. We're real excited about this documentary, a very powerful way to get the truth out to people. There we go. There's the documentary right there.
So, and, only on InfoWars.
Only on InfoWars can you get the DVD. We have a, we're the sole dealer for that.
That's
We've got
right.
something of a truth cartel going on there with that.
Absolutely.
But thank you very much. We look forward to seeing, people to get this truth out to their neighbors and friends. And a great way to do that is to just hand them a DVD. Thank
Absolutely,
you, Kevin.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks. And you can get that DVD at InfoWarsStore.com. We have it available as a combo pack or with the original film where you can save $7 or you can get them individually. And that's The American Drug War, The Last White Hope, that's the first one, or the second one, American Drug War, Cannabis Destiny, part two of The American Drug War. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.